There's a minig. This is let down. There's a mitzvah to start making this, building the sukkah, Matzim Kippur. Actually, there's a beautiful nusach that it says that the reason why you do that is you should go from mitzvah to mitzvah. As I mentioned, then the Tafresh Chav Dalet. Maskilim miyad Matzim Kippur, basiyas asukkah, kei lotzis mitzvah la mitzvah. And there's a lashon of they put it on Yosef Neman Bal Timoit, so it's a very strong Yosef. So we're giving Mekayim that with the lach of Kol Oizik Behilchus Sukkah is Kilo Bana Sukkah. Right? So you know, that's for the that's the lazy man's version, right? Okay. No, and some people hold it worth the Gabi Tshuva. Kol Oizik Behilchus Tshuva is Kilo Bana Tshuva. Yeah, some, you know, so there. But let's put it down over there. Okay. Okay. So in regards to the binyan of hukum, you kosher for binyan of sukkah. The ma'aseh law is that sukkah's ganvach is kosher. Which means the sukkah which is built by a goy is kosher. However, we're not going to feel not to do it. I get somebody who's not kosher for the mitzvah, which would apply even to a woman or the guy by the schach. Preferably, women shouldn't do it or a cotton shouldn't do it. But meeker than it's kosher. So it's very relevant in a situation where a person needs to build a sukkah on Yom Tov because the sukkah fell down. So the Yisrael can't put the sukkah up. Can he ask a goy to do it? So there's a steer mishaburas. So at the end of Siman Tafresh Chavav, Mr. Burr brings a suffix from the Prima Gadim. So the Prima Gadim says, "Haris hetu chalilali." Right. So and that's the Mr. Burr quotes that. Right. So that's over there. In time, Siman Tav Reish Lamed Zayin.
Prima Gadim doesn't want to be
matir. He says, "Laharis hetu chalila li."
But then okay. He's mistapik.
That's what he said. "Laharis hetu chalila li." Chashom, I should be matir pasuk l'alach l'mayis l'kula. Okay. In Siman Tav Reish Lamed Zayin. So he says, in a situation like this, now. Another person built a sukkah, and then the sukkah fell down because of the wind or whatever it is. So tziyamta is also like hemo. Even if the roof just took off some of the schach, it's still also to put it back on. It's mutter to do it. It's mishmur pasul l'chomai said it's mutter. In Tov Reish Lamed Zayin. So shtikel stira between the two. One teretz is, if a person did his due diligence and built the sukkah before Yom Tov, and then it falls down, so then we're samech l'kula, you're allowed to be makel on it. The case of over here, it's not my case where a person did not build the sukkah at all. So he was negligent. So then we're not going to be makel. Now, there's two stories to be makel, two arguments to be makel. One is, what the shaila is building a sukkah b'locha d'raisa or not? That's the shaila. If it's d'rabanan, it's very simple. If it's a Rabbanon, so it's a Shus, a Maka Mitzvah, it's going to be Mutter. If it's a Raisa, so normally we assume that doing Amir Lakam and a Raisa for the Sarach Mitzvah is not Mutter. So Prima Gadim is Masupik, whether building a Sukkah is considered a Raisa or not. Since it lasts for 7 days, so maybe that's enough time to be called Binyan Keva, Lagabi Hilchus Shabbos. Even Lagabi Mitzvah Sukkah is considered Arroy. So the Kur Yaakov brings down that the Pasha Bahim is considered Dabar Arroy. Because the Torah calls it a deer is a roi. So it doesn't have a din of a kava. It's a shus, small commits it as a mutter. Aleph. Beis. You got to the Tosis and Dav Ches. You didn't get the Tosis and Dav Ches yet. No. Okay. I'm sorry. That was just a question. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. So Tosis and Dav Ches, so the Morbid talks about a fascinating din that there's a law that if a person buys a piece of carcass from a goy, Kushan Lobayim or Philip Shabbos, you're allowed to have the draw up the document even on Shabbos. So Shadhudur is a shell, like, how in the world can you draw up the document? Ayayayakum. The guy will drop the document for it on Shabbos. So what's going on over here? So there's three approaches over here. One approach is, which is like Mishmur points out, nobody holds like, except for one sheet, is that Ksiba is of anything other than Ksiba Shuri says the Rabbonin. And Mela, it's a Shus Shus, welcome it, it's Mut. Mishmur says we don't even take that sheet in the Halakha Lamais as a possible pshat. It's one of the Rishonim, but nobody else passes like that. That's off the table. Okay. Second teretz is that even though normally a mir lakam on a derais is not mutter tzarech mitzvah, but there are exceptions where it's mutter. One of the exceptions is mutter, the tzarech rabim. So tzarech rabim, a mir lakam on a derais is mutter. So example, let's say the Erev fell down on the Shabbos. So you have a whole tzibur, going to be carrying, right, so that's tzarech rabim. So you're allowed to tell a goy to fix the Erev, even if it's going to end up being a malach of the derais. So tzarech rabim is mutter. So buying karka Eretz Yisrael goes into that same heter. Buying karka Eretz Yisrael is goes into the heter as well. Taking back the land from the goyim into the hands of the yidden. So that the more so that goes into this heter of that Klal Yisrael has to regain Eretz Yisrael, recuperate Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, mir lakam of the rice is mutter. Third teretz is that mir lakam is mutter the tzarkmitz of the rice. She is bala yitur. Right, so do we say where are we semach on the shittas bala yitur? So the minig is the Ramaz talked about it. Historically, they had a problem that they didn't have electric lights, so you had to light a candle. So you lit your candles. Now it comes Shabbos afternoon, towards evening, it's dark and it's cloudy outside. It's dark inside. You can't read, you can't learn, etc. So they were annoyed to be semach on the shittas bala yitur to ask the goy to light neiris. We have the people through the tzarech of the tzibur. So, in other words, that much we're semach on the eater. Mokum tzarech of a mitzvah of a tzarech of a rabbin. We're semach on the balei eater. You can have him do a derais. So, do we say over here we're semach on the balei eater? The person needs a sukkah. He has where to sit. So that's the. So that's we're only semach on the balei eater. Bir locha says before in Tav Reish Lamed Tav Shin Lamed Aleph. In the case where you weren't negligent. In other words, this kula is only in the case you weren't negligent. The person built the sukkah beforehand and it fell down. So we had a few, I don't remember how many years ago it was. Remember the first, it was a few years back. Like the first night of sukkahs, we went to shul, everything was fine. There was a major storm, came by, lasted for 20 minutes, ripped apart over half the sukkahs in the city, and then it went away. So now it's a beautiful nice night, clear night, and half the people in the city don't have sukkahs. So, Ari Rosamond came by the yeshiva when we discussed it. When he said, well, Mr. Mechad Mishabura, then he holds you allowed to have a goy do it. So the shul's goy went around from house to house, putting back the schach. When the walls were, so recently somebody asked me, are you allowed to do that? There's Mishabura specific about it. I said, that's true. Mishabura specific about it. In Simon Tov Reish Chav Vav. Mishabura Pasan Al Chamais and Tov Reish Lamed Zayin. That is mutter. Oh, good. Anyway, so, interesting story. Okay, there's a din of over here which is not so relevant. Maybe it's a din of love with lahachmir. So you make your sukkah, you can't make a sukkah under another covering. So I have clotheslines going over the top of the sukkah. You're digging down the chotzer. Somebody up above has clotheslines. The clotheslines are love with each other. They're within three tefachim of each other. So it's like there's a covering over your sukkah. If you say love with lahachmir or not. But you only say love with the kula, so then we ignore that the clotheslines are very thin, they're not affecting your sikhuch at all. So there's a bach which is chayshish l'chumra, that it would be a problematic. So a person would have a situation, they're building their sukkah under, let's say, power lines, and there's a multiple power lines next to each other, it might be a problem. A person should try and avoid that, the chavchila. This seems to pass on l'chumra, it's not a problem. Okay.
Why would this have to be?
What?
Up to what point would it be a problem? These lines, these closed lines, hanging above the sukkah?
No difference. As long as it's above your sukkah. Now, how do you know what it's called above your sukkah? That gets challenging.
Right.
So that's the guy to trees. So you have a tree which is going to be being masachet over part of the sukkah, even not over the whole sukkah, but the area that's being masachet over is problematic. Now telling whether your tree is over your sukkah or not, when these high trees, 30, 40, 50 feet up, it's very hard to tell just looking at it. You really can't. You have to use some type of a, preferably use some type of a
Daddy?
Measurement to measure it.
We say lovid on schach, that if there's chamasim room, it's lost, we say lovid.
Right. Lovid on schach.
Why would I be mitzayer for like the clotheslines?
They're within three tefachim of each other.
But it's not affecting the.
No, it's on its tachas abayis. So I put a roof for my. I mean, my sukkah totally, you know, beautiful, but I put a roof on top of it. There's a difference in tachas abayis. It's possible. Nothing to do with sales of merubah mekamsa. Right. It's a separate issue. Okay. So a person should be aware of that. You should measure it out and see if, you know, make sure that the trees are not over your sukkah. You could have a situation where the trees over the sukkah doesn't pass over the sukkah, it just passes that little spot. You have a sukkah which has four walls, and towards the one end, the tree is going over that end. So the rest of the sukkah is fine. It doesn't pass the rest of the sukkah, but that spot you can't sit. You can't sit the tachazil. Now, there are scenarios which potentially is halachically mutter, but we would prefer to not get involved in that. Okay. So what do you use for schach? What's a valid thing for schach? So made a rice, so the requirement of the pasuk, we learn from the pasuk, it says it's subsidious from the garden of the Yaakov. Subsidious from the garden of Yaakov means it grew from the ground, number one. Number two, it's not an oichel, it's not a makabel tumo, and number three, it's already tallish. So all three things are necessary to be kosher reschach. It has to be that it grows from the ground. It has to be that it's not makabel tumah, and it has to be that it's talush. So I have a tree with not makabel tumah, and it grows from the ground, but it's attached. So that's a problem. Right. Chazal added on top of that, since things have to be grow from the ground, etc., something which looks like it was nishtana surasa to the point it doesn't look like it grew from the ground anymore, it looks like a totally different item, that's no good mirabonim. Even though it's not makabel tumah, it's talush, and it grew from the ground, but if it doesn't look like that, so if you change something to that, so the Mora talks in regards to you have piston fibers, which eventually you make them into like a rope. So even though it's not a makabel tumah necessarily, but it's nishtana surasa to a point where you can't use it for sichuch.
We'll get there.
Okay. So those are the three things we need in place. So one of the areas which the halacha talks about this should be makabel tumah is the machzelis, is mats. So the machzelis of the Gemara grappled with the fact that mats are made for shechiva. So the klalim in the hilchos tumah should to create something which is that doesn't have a base kibble. It's not makabel tumah. However, that's what's talking about the Kabbalah Tumah, not in regards to Tumah Zav and Zav, etc. But things which are made for Shkiva are Makabal Tumah from Zav and Zav, because that the Torah discusses things which are made for Shkiva or Yeshiva, etc. So that over there, there's no Din of Pshutik Liates. By Kabbalah Tumah from the Vela, those different things. So the Torah talks about it has to be Makabal. Torah lumps together, creates together with a sack, etc. Sack is Makabal Tumah because it has a Toich. That's what to put it into. So creates also has to have something to put into. But by something flat is not Makabal Tumah. That's you're talking about Nevela, Sheretz, those type of things. Tumas Mace. But Tumas Zav and Zav need a mitzara, your lettuce, that's what Kabbalah Tumah just if it's made for Shechiva. So the more Mishnah talks about different types of things, when is it made for Shechiva, not made for Shechiva. So the mats which they're bringing in nowadays, for the most part, are not made for Shechiva. They still use mats for Shechiva in Southeastern Asia. So you just have to make sure that your factory isn't doubling up and making, well, all everything's made in China, right? Where else do you make it? China, India, so good. So you just got to make sure that your company, they're not doubling up and sending some to the Buddhist temple for sitting on, and something to us for our sukkahs.
How do you know?
So actually, okay. actually sends a mishkeich there to make sure that they understand that this is for this purpose. A guy who speaks Chinese, or speaks the language, whatever language they do, they hire somebody, you know, from guy, and he goes around talking with the shulchan to see what they think they're doing, to make sure that they know that what they're doing, they're not doing it for shiva purposes.
Who does this?
Okay.
Who addresses
this issue because they're worried about the problem.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
Also, some of the companies, they put extra poles in it that are made so it's not comfortable to sit on. So, like, it's not even...
Right. So, that's the first issue. Most of them are not a problem. They're made for schach. Okay, so so you want to use them for schach. So there potentially are a few other issues that you have to talk about. So this halacha that it's, if it's something which is a makabel tuma, is possible for schach, generates a few other halachas. It generates a halacha. There are certain types of scenarios when you weave something together, and part of it's made out of a makabel tuma, part of it's not a makabel tuma. So sometimes it generates a lach of tuma on the whole thing. So that's a Mishnah in Sechtes Kalim talks about such a concept. Whereas part of it is made to be makabel tuma, the whole thing makes makabel tuma because of it. So Ramosha's concern, if you would, by these mats, if the weaving thing which you're using is a makabel tuma, the whole mat is in a makabel tuma. So it's possible the rice to use. Not just the weave, not just the thread, right? So he says there's a shita's Rashi. Rashi shita is one of the things that you makabel tumah is you take fibers and you make them into threads and then you weave them. So orig is makabel tumah. So that's the case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah, we're talking about a case of you made nets. So if the bottom part is woven thick enough that it would get a din of orig, so then the whole net is makabel tumah. So the bottom part is called orig. So Rashi Shita is that orig is not just once you weave it together, but the act of taking fibers. So you plate the fibers together and you ply them together and you make a rope. The act of plating it together is also considered orig. So Rashi Shita is that a rope which has been plated, which is, means it's more than one ply, right? It's a multiple ply. It's makabel tuma made a raisa. And now if you use that to weave together your mat is possible to rise to use. That's what Marcia's question for that sheet. So the Star K, because of that, they tell you that their mats are made with monofilament. The reason why they're saying they're made with monofilament is that they use some type of a polymer type of a thing, a polymer base, you know, like your nylon fishing line. Which is one filament. It's not plated at all. It's just one filament. So that's what they weave it with. So that's how they get around that problem. Shulchan Aruch Rav brings this Rashi and says, "You don't pass on this Rashi. It's not a problem at all. It's kosher. It's kosher 100%." So okay, is the Lubavitch. They use the threads, which according to Rashi would be chashash deraisa. They hold us kosher because Shulchan Aruch holds us kosher. Okay, so you're okay, Matt. They tell you that it's not made for Shkiva, but but you're not being kosher for Rashi. What?
You could have one or the other, but not both.
Yeah.
Shkiva or...
Right, right.
You sit in a Lubavitch sukkah?
Do I sit in a Lubavitch sukkah? I've never really sat in a Lubavitch sukkah, but I never came to the Gelamaisa.
But let's say that's the sukkah. Could we rely on it to eat it?
Okay, well, if they have to, Pashas is not like Rashi. No other reasons are like Rashi. Rashi says we should choose for Rashi. He's passing his question for Rashi. I can't tell you it's possible. Okay, now, okay, so if Rashi's wrong, so that schach is much better. Why? Because the next step is the loch of Maimed. So the loch of Maimed is if your schach is supported by something which is a makabel tum, it's also a problem. Now, that's what comes with Sharnan, where the maimon is a problem. It's a din rabbana. Your schach is kosher, but it's being supported by a different makabel tum. Is that a problem? Mid rabbana, some Sharnan, that's a psalm rabbana. Bidi Abed is kosher, according to everybody. Maimon is not malaka bidi Abed. Okay? So, what does maimon mean? So what does that makabel tuma mean? So makabel tuma doesn't mean makabel tuma. It's any psul schach. Okay, what's the reason why they asked it? Gzeira. If I can use that to be part of the process of making the schach, people will say, "Oh, you can use that for schach." Let them using it for schach. So comes along the Ran says, "One second, he's kosher the shita." So I make my walls out of cinder block, and I put my schach on top. It's standing; it's being supported by something, which is possible for schach. He says, "Nobody's." He says, "That's not exaggerated because nobody's going to think you can make your roof with cinder blocks." Right? Well, I use cinder blocks for the walls; I can use it for the roof. Right? Nobody's going to make that mistake. Right? So that anything which is obvious is not going to make a mistake doesn't go into Xeris mind. Okay, so what is maimed? Maimed, but on the other hand, it's loved afkim and kabel tumah. It just means anything would be possible. So monofilament, if I want to make my roof out of monofilament nylon threads, it's possible. So now I'm weaving my mat together with monofilament nylon threads. That's I'm being maimed it with dover, which is that's kabel tumah, but it's possible for sichuk. It's not Dr. Makabel Tumah. It means anything which is possible for a sichuk, there's a gzeira. You can't use it as a maimed because you might use it as a sichuk. Okay, so what defines a maimed? So a maimed means anything which makes the schach functions. It could be the walls. It could be the support beams across. It could be the things which make it doesn't fly away. If the schach will not retain its status in ruach matsuya, so I take these little bamboo slats and I put them across the top with no weaving at all. Very good chance even a regular wind will blow it off. So the only weave that doesn't blow off because this weave holds it in place. Right? So I put a nice support on the bottom so it's not going to fall in. So even though without my weave it won't fall in. Great. That's the first step. But it might fly away also. So I have to worry about the weave. So Sarkei tells you, you should put supports running underneath it, so you know that the filament is not necessary to make it shouldn't fall in. You should put something on top, make sure it shouldn't fly away. So this way, you're not relying on the weave to make it stay in place. Now, if it stays in place, Baruch Matsuya, you just want to put it as a maimed for extra chizuk, right? So I want to like tie it down with some zip ties, you know. Zip ties. Also, make my skach by holding it in place with zip ties. Right? They're not kosher for sichuk. But again, that's, if it's going to stay in function in ruach matsuya without the zip ties, it's just there for extra support. That's fine. That's not a problem of mine. So mine only applies to the ikur definition of the sukkah. We're going to get there. Okay. So that is how you solve the problem of maimed without that. The other problem of maimed is, let's say the guy has a canvas sukkah, that's a beautiful sukkah, it's a nice metal frame, right? So what's supporting the sukkah? Metal frame is supporting the schach is there because of the metal frame, right? So that's the problem of maimed. So Mishnah Berurah posits that maimed is a problem. They never made gzeira maimed to maimed. Maimed to maimed, they didn't make gzeira. Okay? So what's called a maimed to maimed? What's called a maimed? So I make a sukkah out of wood, but the frames are held together by screws. Well, without the screws, you wouldn't have a frame. You wouldn't have a frame, you wouldn't have a sukkah. That's called a maimed to maimed, because the frame is what's supporting the schach, and the screws are supporting the frame. They're maintaining the frame. So that's called maimed to maimed. Shabur is not worried about that. On the other hand, somebody came up with this, like, mistaken idea that the problem is that the maimed shouldn't that tuma thing shouldn't touch the schach. So let's take my frame and run a piece of wood across the top, parallel on top of the metal frame. So now the schach is here's the frame, here's the piece of wood, and here's the schach. That's not a maimed; it's not doing anything. That piece of wood it's not mylar murried in the ability of maintaining the sukkah. It's just like preventing it from getting cooties, from touching it. Like, you know, there's no such din. That doesn't help you at all. I mean, this kosher b'di habits. It's not a problem. Okay? Now, there's a chazanish. Chazanish says, if the chazan exerim maimon, then exerim maimon the maimon. Now, he actually paskins, if you go through his piece, that he holds the ikur like the rishonim, although there's no din of maimon at all. That's the chazanish. He says, the ikur din, there's no din of maimon b'chlal. But if you hold the maimon, he holds maimon, the maimon is also a problem. So if you want to make a you want to be like frumer than the Chazanish, because the Chazanish held maimed as kosher, not a problem. But if you want to be kosher for maimed, and then apply the Chazanish maimed to maimed, so you make a frame which even what holds it together is wooden dowels. So the it's a wooden frame, held together by wooden dowels. There's no metal used at all anywhere in the frame. That's called a chazanish sukkah. That's what they call it. So getting back to your schach, your mat, right? So the amount of filament is something which is pulse of a tichuk. So if that's what's going to maintain your mat, it's going to fall. There's no support at the bottom. It's going to fall in without otherwise. So that's a problem of maimit. L'chadchila, right? It was going to fly away. It's also maimed. Once you take that away, it's not a maimed b'chlal. So that's the second option. Third option is, of making mats, is they make it with bamboo fibers. So it's not orig, so you don't have rashi. It's something which is kosher v'sichuk, so you don't have to worry about any maimed issues. And it's a great idea. The only problem is that they rot very quickly. So the most expensive version, they rot the most quickly. So, but, you know, if you want a heater, that's an option. The fourth option is the Home Depot option. So Home Depot has bamboo slats made into a fence with metal woven in between. Now, I'll solve the maimed problem with the metal. Metal is possible for sichus. I can't use as a maimed, like the Star K says. I'll put some supports on the bottom. I'll put something on top, and everything's wonderful. But probably I still have the other problem that if it was woven together with something which is makabel tuma, there's still a kabbalah tuma on the whole mat, right? So it's not just that the metal is makabel tuma, that the mat is makabel tuma also. Now that's psul d'oraisa. So is this mat makabel tuma or not? So there's an interesting din in Hilchus, you know, in the halachas of tuma, that kalim which are made out of metal, which are made to mishamishim makarik, are not makabel tuma. So Rabbi first is on record is saying that, you know, these fences are made, except for Jews, like they're made, they're not made for Jews, right? See, once a Jewish company starts making them, they'll be puzzled to rice. But calls when they're made to be fences, fences are made to attach to the ground. So metal which is made to be makabel l'karka is not makabel tuma. So the metal is not makabel tuma, and the mat's not makabel tuma. If you make it for schach, takel will be pulse of the rice. So if you see somebody come in with a Jewish heksher on the schach, don't buy it, right? But meanwhile, so he says really they're good in their kosher. So they're the cheapest option, and. I think, I mean, as much as I've learned the Hilchos Tuma, I had the same order, but I wasn't ready to paskin it. I'm not ready to paskin Hilchos Tuma in Tahara. Mashiach comes, I'll have to do that, but I'm not ready to do that. But I see Rabbi first is on record, and Rabbi Gedalia Schwartz is the Abbezin in the CRC, both are on record that it's kosher. So if somebody wants to do that, definitely they can do that. Okay. So that's mats. Okay.
All the circuits, yeah, like the metal frames, they're all puzzled from Maimon.
They're not puzzle. They're not puzzle. Maimon is kosher b'di'evit. According to the Chazanish, it's going to be kosher the chatzila. According to the Chazanish, really. So, Chazanish, whether there's gzeiras maimon b'chlal. According to the Rishonim, there's no gzeiras maimon b'chlal. And even according to the Rishonim, there is gzeiras, it's only in the chatzila. So, if a person doesn't have a better option than that, so he could do that.
Why don't you say this for other rhyme for better? No one's going to make the mistake to make the roof for metal.
You might argue that, you know. I don't know. See how far you take it.
The Home Depot mat. So there's no problem with Arig. Is that what we're saying? And number two, would you have to solve the problem of Maimon? Would you have to do the thing on bottom, the thing on top?
Yeah, that you still have to do. Right, correct.
Uh-huh. And there will be no problem with Arig.
Well, it's made in Mishamish and Makarika. Okay, fine. Because they also answered some other things with something which you have a schach which you made or something which will is oimed to be misyabish teich zayin. It won't last 7 days, so you use some take some tree branches of a tree, and the leaves tend to wither very quickly. So eventually, by the time sukkah and the sukkah is it's not going to be teltsim merubah. So that's possible from day one already. That's possible because since it can't last 7 days, because also you can't use it for sichuch. Something which is a reach ra. There's actually one sheet that holds that's psalsa deraisa. That might even be psal deraisa. If it's going to be omer liyabesh teich zayin, so it's like a kilo. It's not there at all, even from day one. So it's like it could be using psal deraisa, but definitely can't use it. So you want to, you know, you had a great idea that your neighbor just cut down his tree and there's like all the branches over there. I use it for my schach. If it's the type of leaves which shrivel very quickly, you're going to have a problem. They said if the schach is something which has a bad smell, so the xeri might come to leave the sukkah because the smell may make you leave, so you can't use it for schach. You have use the sikha out of things which tend to it doesn't come counts a maruba, but it drops a lot of leaves, you know, a lot of, you know, needles, your pine needles, you know, you're sitting there trying to eat your soup and there's pine needles in the soup all the time. You might leave the sukkah because of it. It's an irritant to the point that you might leave because of it. Chazal says you can't use a mirabon, you can't use a friskach because we're afraid the person might leave the sukkah because of it. So those are children's rabbonim.
You've got other schach underneath it, is it okay?
Theoretically, you know, I would tell you to get rid of it, otherwise the gzeira theoretically is there. Okay, now when you put the schach on, so how much schach are you supposed to put on? How thick does it have to be? So the lashon of the mechaber is der sich liyos kal. Der sich is to be should be light, in order that you should be able to see kachal magadolim. And that means somewhere in the sichuch, there's at least one spot where you can see stars through that. But the ma'aseh mikradin, that's not ma'ak. It was ma'uba to the point, even though you can't see the kachavim, it's still kosher. Now, if it was ma'uba to the point that shamim won't come in, even when there's a heavy rain, that might be possible. Because of Xeris bias, Mr. Baruch says.
What's not coming
there? Rain. That's possible because of Xeris bias. People say, well, I mean, the same as a house. It's so thick, such a thick roof that the rain doesn't come in, so that's Xeris bias. So I remember I had this experience. I went to New York I was a bocher, so go back a few years ago. Cholamoid, we were there, so we went to, it was Simchas HaShoeva by some Chassidish group, and it was raining outside. So I said to somebody, like, you know, are they going to have it? I said, no, it's not a problem. The schach is so thick, the rain doesn't come in. They make a dafka that way. This way, they have beautiful noi and stuff like that inside. You don't want to mess up all the noi. So they make the schach very thick. This way, the noi doesn't get messed up. And also, you can sit in the sukkah when it's raining. So if the rain eventually comes through, that's good enough. Even though it doesn't come through at the moment that it starts raining. It takes a while for the water to trickle down. That's also still kosher. They had an interesting hatsaw in Eretz Yisrael. Let's say, you know, you make a schach like this. So you take bamboo and you cut it lengthwise halfway. So you end up with a round bottom like pipe. Okay? So you lay two layers of schach. One layer with all of the pieces facing upwards. A second layer with all the pieces facing downwards, and you stagger them. So the rain hits the top one, it rolls off the top one into the groove of the bottom one and runs off the sukkah. So it's light, you know, it's thin, you know, it's the light's coming in, you can see outside a little bit even, you can give a little bit of gap between the two of them, so you can see the stars, but no rain comes in, because it's shaped in such a way that the way it's set up, that it won't. So this was a big tumult in Eretz Yisrael, whether this is kosher or not. Of course there was some, yeah, it's kosher, it's adar, it's a heater, it's a gavaldik, and all this thing, you know. It's not a rain. It's not a bias. Nobody gets it like this on a bias, right? Rain is a measure for, is it a roof or is it sichuch? This is sichuch. I mean, you got stars coming in, wind can come in, you know, cold comes in, you know. Just rain doesn't come in because you set up like that. I was saying, oh, but they didn't just shove him, So, you know, whatever sheet you hold, like somebody says that you're right. somebody says that you're wrong too, but that's a different issue. But the mice, the Iker Psak seems to be the way I understand it, that they bring from a Riyashiv on this, that he was, if I call correctly, one second, that he said it's fine. Right? He said that's him, it's fine. He doesn't see why it's a problem. And again, there was when it came out, it was a very nice iron file. I don't know if it's still done or not. I don't know, but it's a great idea. Okay. It's a lot of work. Okay. Going back to our canvas sukkahs. So we got very nervous about the metal frame. So there's another issue, which is the walls. So the halacha is that the walls have to be omer beruch mitzuyot. So what does it mean to be omer beruch mitzuyot? So if you have a wall which is so flimsy that beruch mitzuyot is going to knock it down. It's not that beruch mitzuyot. Also, be that it's a weak shomer mitzuyot also. So the poskim handle shayla. You want to make a wall out of cardboard. Right, but you know, it's thin enough cardboard that a light rain would make it fall apart. So it'd be the same problem. Right, it would be problematic, even though right now it's not raining. But theoretically, it would not withstand the normal elements which are found here. That's not a valid. That would not be a valid wall. So don't make your walls out of cardboard. If you do make a thick cardboard, which would last the rain at a minimal rain. So what does it mean? So if it's going to, it's hopefully it's going to knock down because of that. That's partial. That's a problem. Let's say it's not going to be knocked down, but it's going to move. That the ruach mitzuyah will cause the walls to move. So Mishnah Berurah says that's also possible. Now the next question is, what does it mean to move? What is called moving? How much moving is called moving? So Mishnah Berurah seems to say that any movement is a problem. There's a Shuvas Mishkan Yaakov like that. That any movement is a problematic. So when you make a sukkah out of the canvas walls, so theoretically the walls move in the wind. So that's going to be, according to Mishnah Berurah, that would be problematic. Let's say you make it very tight. That any movement is not going to move at all. So Pasha, according to Mishnah Berurah, that should be fine. Now there's a Chazanish. Chazanish says that minimal movement is not problematic. He says it has to be significant movement. What's significant movement? Three tefachim. So partially means three tefachim in each direction. So if it's standing where it is and the wind will blow it three tefachim out that way, so it's like that's not, that part of the wall is not there. So you have to measure how much you, if you have a full wall when that happens.
But
sorry,
movement.
It's not Oymed Baruch Mitzuyah.
It is.
Well, that's Mishnah Berurah Shita. Any movement is called. It has to be where you would build a structure. I don't know about you. But I don't make structures which go like this. I don't like sitting in a house which goes like this. Right. So I wouldn't go to. I wouldn't want a wall with moves. Mishnah Berurah holds the problem. Okay. It's a game by your Erev also. According to Mishnah Yaakov, any movement in the wire is a problem. That's your source of Pesach. I have a door frame, and my door frame goes like this every time it's windy. I've got a door frame, you know. So Mishnah Yaakov holds it's possible. You have to make it tight enough that it shouldn't move.
But the Lovett strings are.
We'll get to the Lovett strings. Okay. Right, so now, Mechaber says if you make it tight, that it shouldn't move, meeker than the Shmi Kasher. Comes on the Shulchan Aruch and makes a Gzeira from the Rishonim. It's not a Gemara. He says, well, why aren't we worried about that? You know, it's tied down. The middle of the sukkah is maybe one of those things got untied and now it's going to move and you're not going to notice. So he says, you can't sit there because of this possibility. So the person saying, when we find other places where we're not worried about that, he says, that's a, here you sit 7 days, day and night, using a console, you're not going to keep your eye on it. And that's a problem. So the Shachar Paskins, once you're saying movement means any movement, and it has to be totally tight, even if it's tied, it's not guaranteed that it's going to be okay. Now, this is Gzeira. Some of the Rishonim, you know, some of the Noisei Kalim say, I mean, you can't make your own Gzeiras. There's no such Gzeira in the Gemara anywhere. Like, you're making his own Gzeira. So it's a tough Reish Lam and Sif Yud. So it says, Ein Nochen Lasso is called Machitzim Yuriya Shalpishtim, Beloi Khanim, Alvish Akashon Hetev, Zim the Menatki, Belava Daite, Babalai Machitzim Yuriya Shalpishtim. So writes Alasas with Sadinim. Therefore, if you want to use Sadinim as your walls, so the Eitz is to make loved walls. Eitz is to make these a lattice. So you're not relying on the Sadinim. You're relying on the lattice. So what's the lattice? So I can use the concept of loved works by sukkah. Right. So I can make strings love with each other. And that'll create a wall. So I'm not really the real wall. It's 10 tefachim high. It's a raisa after machmer. 10 tefachim high is 40 inches. It's only within the raisa. On the other hand, loved, they have to love each other. You have to machmer the other direction. Right? Maybe a tefach is, how big a tefach is? It ranges between 3 inches per tefach to 4 inches per tefach. Loved means anything less than 3 tefachim. two things which within three tefachim of each other. Three tefachim already is not lovin. Less than three tefachim is lovin. So if I tell you that a tefach is 3 inches, so they have to be within less than 9 inches from one to the next. So you make a string, and an inch later you make another string. Then another one.
Horizontally, vertically, both?
We're getting there.
You have to add to one top, don't
No. What? No, the missionary says you can get away with using them. They don't have to be like that. I can make things which are, I don't make them millimeter thick and make enough of them. So I don't have to worry. You don't need it to be a tefach. The missionary gave a case like that. That's not necessary. Okay. Great. So let's start with so love it works either in stop. There's two words. I just want you to make sure that you at least know the words what the words mean. Shesi and Or. Shesi, everybody knows what they are, right? Which is which?
Or is the witness.
Okay, so I'll tell you very simple. You ever heard of Evan Shesia? What's Evan Shesia? Evan Shesia? The foundation stone. Shesi means a foundation. Or is Loshan Taruvis, mixture. So the one that you put first is called the Shesi, and the one you weave in, the other one is called the Orev. Okay, makes sense. So now on your loom, the threads that you put the first will be called the Shesi. The ones you weave in afterwards are called the
Orev.
Good. Now, that's what you're talking about, a loom. Now, let's say you're talking about making a wall. So how are you going to do it? You're going to put uprights first, and then you're going to weave one. It's very hard to put all the ones, like suspend with Shemus Kadoshim, the horizontals, and then do the verticals. You can do the verticals first, and then the horizontals afterwards. So the verticals are the chassis, and the horizontals are the orb. Makes sense, right? Now we know what the words mean. Everybody knows what, now makes sense, right? Good. Can you make it with just chassis? Or Orev, because theoretically you can do Orev by just tying at the ends, the two ends, you'll tie a pole and you make these horizontal lines. Right? So it's referred to in the law as Orev, because usually you would do that weaving it together. So if you do both, you're great. You know, that's wonderful. Everybody's okay with that. So you do love it on the chassis, you love it on the Orevs, everything is wonderful. You make three walls and everybody's wonderful. Right? The problem is that there is interesting din. Which brings down that our minhag is not to make chassis without orev or without chassis, because if you only do three walls, we're only allowed we don't want you using chassis or without orev or without chassis, because even with rice it's kosher. Chazal didn't want you rely on that except for certain circumstances, mishnayos and erevin, etc., because of the chashash you're not going to do it right, etc. So don't do that. There seems to be mashmos. So if you do all four walls, they didn't make the gzeira. Or the fourth wall, they didn't make the gzeira. So, that being said over here, the lashon of the Mechaber sounds like it's not a problem. So, just do mechitzas kanim b'pachas mishloisha. And that's good enough. It means, mitaraisa, that's kosher. The Siddinim are also tight. That's also kosher. We're making gezeira midin of the Rishonim that maybe become a nutuk, and then you'll have your ropes which are kosher menoraisa. So they weren't mechayiv that you need to do shesi and orev. Now, if you don't do the rope, the walls tight, and you're relying on the shesi, and then you have to do shesi and orev. So. That's a separate din, which Chazal said you shouldn't use chassis below or below chassis. You have to have both. So a person's going to say, listen, you know what? It's hard to tie these walls down. They'll flap a little bit. We're relying on the ropes. Once you're relying on the ropes, you have to do chassis and arv. If you're actually making the walls tight, so making the walls kosher. There's a gzeira, it might be in menutik. For that already, you have your deraisa dika chassis below arv, or below chassis is good enough.
You have to be arv it. Weave it through.
Can
you just put them there?
That's what I'm saying.
So you have to actually like put it like in and out. Or can you just put them both like?
No, you don't have to weave it together. You just have that both.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you have four walls of love, you could just do R in your chest.
Correct. And usually, what happens is like I think one of these things, they come with like three walls where you put the rope, so they have like straps that come with it. It comes with like three walls. Like, really? Like, you know, like. So that's what, that's some shot. They're being soymech on this, the diuk over here, that that's okay.
They say you can't rely on rope, because you might not tie it well by Kapara.
That doesn't say that anywhere. Because usually when you tie, you'll tie it tight. It says by the sadinim, it says it's a problem.
So order and chassis is okay if it's three walls. If you do both, three walls.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anything is okay. Now there is a minig that preferably we do all four walls. Period. There's some minig, not rely on the dinim of. You know, all the Mishnayos tells you that, you know, you can do Shtayim Kilchasai, you know, and the Shisha Filo Tefach, which means that you do a space which is a little bit less than Lavud, then you put a board which is a little bit more than a Tefach, and then you make it towards a Pesach. You know what? Don't do that, because you're not even doing it, right? We don't like to do that Chachila. So not only that, there's a minute Chachila, preferably a person should do all four walls if necessary, but it's not Ma'akim. So, like this look over here, we only have three walls.
Is paskening that the nine tefachim either direction is called movement or like the Mishnah Berurah that no movement is asur or possible?
Not nine tefachim, nine inches, three tefachim. Yeah, that'd be really pretty makele. Mishnah Berurah seems to say, I would tell the person Shmuel Machmer, that really tried to be Machmer on that. Yeah, listen, a person of a choice, you know, Chazanish was a good man.
Was that all of the kind of circus?
No, you make it, you can tie tight. And then Ruch Matsuya. Ruch Matsuya. You're not worried about Ruch Matsuya. Now, there's interesting Shaila, what's called Ruch Matsuya. Let's define Ruch Matsuya. So, the Riyasha was on record that if you build a sukkah on a rooftop, Yerushalayim is the Renegeah, the wind is much higher on the rooftop than down below. The Ruch Matsuya on the rooftop is totally what it is over there. So somebody, I said this a lot recently, somebody asked me if the Mishnah says, Pharisee, if you don't paskin like that, the Gabi, Yam and Yabasha. That by you make a sukkah on the Svino, you don't have, it's not telling Ruch Matsuya of Yam, it's telling Ruch Matsuya of the Yabasha. And here we're saying it's telling Ruch Matsuya of the roof. Right? Like, what's the Matsuya on the ship or on the roof? So I think the Chiluk is Pashut. The Lomas over there is Be'etzim. First of all, there's a reason why you say that. Because you could really bring it back to Yabasha. You could bring the sip back to Yabasha. And Yam is Be'etzim not a place where people live. It's not a place where Chalav the Mishtamish with us. It doesn't have a shame that's a shame Dira. We're being Kamei a shame Dira on the ship. So the shame Dira on the ship is totally in a place where people will normally make a Dira. Over here, if you make deers up there, make deers down here. So I live in, you know, the upper Himalayas, and over there, the average wind is 50 miles an hour. Well, you know, in Orlando, they're only 3 miles an hour. So, man, it's a kasha sukkah, you know, kasha house. That's ridiculous. The deer over there is the deer over there. What will do the others? So his kiddush is that not only do you say that you look at the Nepal and Orlando is being different, you look at the bottom and the roof is also being different. The same idea, the same concept, because that's the mukkam. That's where you are now. So that's where the mukkam is. That's his Kiddush. I think it's Mestaber. He doesn't need my Hiskama. Okay, fine.
How would you define Ruch Matsuya in any given place? The average wind speed?
Historical weather records? Like, is that actually, should we do that? Look at historical weather records?
I think the average person is familiar in his place with the levels of wind he's getting on a regular basis. Yeah, there are storms once in a while, but that's called Enem Matsuya. Right? You know, yeah, historically there's always a storm once in the middle of the circuit. That's irrelevant. The point is, the average day, what is a normal wind? You know, but there are some places which tend to be more windy than others. Right?
Well, it rains, because sometimes get more windy, like, even if it's not a major storm. Is that considered...
No, that's called Rosh Hashanah Matsuya. Right? Okay, one last din over here. There's an interesting din at the end of Tav Resh Chav Tes. I mean, not covering everything, but you know, they don't have my notes, so this is what you're getting. It talks about a case of the Mishnah. It's a case of a Mishnah, and then there's a discussion what the Mishnah means. So Peres Sadin, because of the Chama or because of the Nesher, so you want to protect your Sichuch. You're afraid it's going to dry out from the very intense sun, so you put this sadin on top of the skach to is protected from the sun, it shouldn't dry out. Or you're afraid that it's going to start falling down, you're not going to see it anymore, so it's no problem, I'll put a sheet underneath to catch all the mail of the schach will stay up. Right? So it comes out, I'm making my schach agadei the sad, either protecting it from above or from below. So that's possible. But if you only put it there, l'no'isa is kosher. Okay? That's the first sheet. So, since it's there for tzarech sukkah, it's baltos of the sukkah. The second sheet which says, v'yeshomrim, that if you have a sukkah which is kosher chosay, and you're afraid it's going to be miyabesh, or it's going to be yishrolan, and you put it there for that purpose, so since that's making it hold it together, that's possible. But if your kavanah was only the hagim and the acham of all and the noises kosher, there I just want to protect it from the sun, right? But it has to be protected four tefachim to the schach, okay? But it has to be obvious to people that your kavanah over there is it's there for haganah and not for sichuch. So we don't exaggerate. People are going to confuse the two. Fine, and it's there not to make the schach kosher. But it's there to add an extra level of protection. So I want to cover my schach with a rain cover. So this way, when I'm sitting, when it's raining, I can sit in the sukkah. So according to the first sheet, that's possible. According to the second sheet, that's kosher. As long as it's within the fourth tefachim, it's a place within the fourth tefachim of the schach. So people make a shlach. Mishmurth actually advocates it's a very good idea, especially where you know people live in a rainy place. It's got to make a shlach, this covering over the sukkah. If it's placed in such a way that it's within four tefachim of the sukkah, according to the second sheet, you can sit in the sukkah when it's raining. Now Mishmurth says that if you don't have another sukkah, you can sit there, but you can't make a bracha on it. But if it's not raining, so according to one sheet, you can sit in the sukkah. So my Rebbe does this. He has a shlak on his sukkah, and when it's raining, he'll sit in the sukkah with the shlak on. And according to one sheet, you makayim it's a sukkah, so why not?
Without a bracha?
No, not without a bracha. It's b'chol, because we're shutting. It's not a bracha. You know, it can't be making a bracha.
It has to be within.
But it has to be placed within four tefachim. Right, so again, so you're dealing with you're being yotzei d'oraisas. So it has to be within 12 inches of the sukkah. It's not a problem. How do you do a shlach? How do you open it? Oh, close your shlach on Yom Tov.
Open it. You slide it open
the shot. So what's the difference over here?
I'm saying over here, making an oil. And you open the
shlach. Why? Forget about this then over here. Present a shlach in the sukkah. How do you open and close it?
Yeah.
So it's not messing with cars. Don't do with this.
Yeah, no.
Okay. Yeah. So there's two eights for that. One eight is if you run it within three tefachim of the shlach, it's love it to the shlach. It's not considered making an oil. Right. One eight. So the other eight is there's a lock of you ought to be moist of an oil aroy. So there's a tefach open already. You ought to extend it further back and forth. Just leave a tefach open before Yom Tov.
Does the tefach open have to be over the sukkah?
No.
If the shlach starts before.
No. Right, the shlach starts before. What?
The oil itself has to be a tefach wide.
The oil part has to be tefach wide. So let's say you have a roll. The roll doesn't count for the tefach. It has to be unrolled a tefach's worth. Right, because you know the roll itself is like three tefachim wide, like a big roll. Right, that doesn't count for your tefach. But if they take that roll and I unroll it a tefach's worth, so now it's. But I unroll it further. I'm just being by seven El Roy, and that's not a problem.
You have the ones that like bunch up on the side, so that shouldn't.
Well, it'd be the same. That I'm not sure. It says in the case of a roll that you can't count it for that thing. If it like folds up to the side, it could be that's the same thing as the roll. Because that's not called open yet. That's called you're storing it. That's
the lumnus. Over the air that tefach could be on like another roof, not the sukkah.
It could be over the roof. It has to be, but it has to be in the air. It just can't be just sitting on the roof, right? Unless you made it in such a way that it's an extension of the roof. Then you mean by some oil kevah. That's not a good thing. Okay. Where are we holding over here? Oh, I want to look about the lachas. Talking about the tefachim, the lachas of noi. So this leads into the lachas of noi, placing noi in your sukkah. So noi, if your noi is placed within three tefachim, before tefachim of the schach, it's both to the schach because it's there according to everybody for the purpose of making the sukkah look nice. So it's tefachim to the schach, it's both to the schach. So even if it's larger than four tefachim, the itself, it's possible for it's something that's not kosher for schach, and it's four tochim, which is the shear for schach possible. But since it's within dal tochim of the schach, it's possible to the schach. That's the chiddush of this thing. If you put it down lower than dal tochim, so if it's less than four tochim, it doesn't possible. You shouldn't sit underneath it. If it's dal tefachim, it's going to pass. So there's a minhag which says always put all noy within dal tefachim of the schach, not to end up with a potential problem in the case the noy is too big. Now, interesting shot which the place can deal with is what about a noy which is, starts out within dal tefachim and it hangs down lower than dal tefachim. So the whole noy is not within dal tefachim of the schach. The top part of the noy is within dal tefachim. But the bottom part of the noy is already hanging down further. Is that acceptable or not? So Rav Ozer is on record that he holds it fine. It sits with the top part of it's within dal tefachim of the sukkah. It's to the schach. It's bolted to the schach. I mean, all the rest of it just is nigger after that. The whole thing is a problem. It's fine. Riyashu held it was a problem. He held if it goes down below lower. Rav Nissim Karel told it's a problem. And he held if it goes down with it lower than dal tefachim, even if the top part is within dal tefachim, the bottom part would be potentially be problematic. Therefore, it's a minig not to, it goes into the minig not to put any noy that low. So really, if you have large noy, you put over the corners, nobody's going to sit there. It's not a problem. But putting any place where people will sit, you should really make sure all of your noy is within dal tefachim. You know, even the bottom part of the noy is placed within dal tefachim of the sichah if possible. The only Mishmar says that the minhag was that they would hang menoros. You should let those down lower than that. Now their menoros were made out of they lit neiros, you know, their candles, you know. So he was advocating the safety issue of potentially burning down your sukkah and yourself and everybody, and then the whole city allowed you to put those lower. So nowadays, electric lights. You know, if a person has something like that, if there's something which produces heat, I also say you should really keep it away from it, not merely adjacent to the schach. But if it, otherwise, really, preferably, a person should put it either in a place where people aren't sitting, or try and put it within the dal tefachim of the schach.
How large is too large for noy? Meaning that it would be a problem if it were below four tefachim?
It's four tefachim by four tefachim. So it's not within four tefachim, it's lower down. The shear, a little apple, make sure that it's not a problem. There's a minig not to put it lower, because in case you put that lower, you're going to end up putting your whatever lower also, and that's going to be a problem. So there's a minig not to put anything lower.
Is that dalt by dalt tefachim area-wise or perimeter?
You mean cubed or squared?
No, it's perimeter. So you would have something which is 2x8. It's not 4x4, it's 2x8, it would not be a problem. It's
meaning covering like above, not right.
2x8.
Would that be like parallel to the
sky? It's lying parallel to the sky, right? Yeah. So you had some big right. Tinsel thing, you know, it's like a big, you know, turkey. I don't know, right? You know, you know, tinsel turkey sitting over there, and it's 15x15, you know. So that's, you know, it's 4x4 is 12x12. Right. Okay. I think that's enough for now.